Grade 8 Conference, Lecture 5, Working with Parents, Part 1. Here are some of the issues that teachers bring up in relationship to their work with parents in Grade 8, and to some extent, Grade 7 as well, but definitely this will happen in Grade 8 if it hasn't happened before. Number 1, parent evenings start small and shrink. And the only way that you can get parents to come in good numbers is by declaring an emergency. And don't worry, those will take care of themselves. Or by announcing that this is involved with the expenditure of money and one has to decide on a budget or something like that, usually having to do with the class trip. Parents will come out for that because their students tell them they have to. Otherwise, you're going to have small numbers. And what's interesting is when I really talk to teachers about this, when we really have an honest conversation, you know, at first they're complaining, the parents don't care anymore, and after all I've done, and so on and so forth. But they finally acknowledge, you know, all the people who used to ask those difficult questions, they're not coming. And if the numbers are small enough, the agenda can be pretty small too, because people feel it's not worth staying, let's just go home early. And it turns out that they're actually not that upset about it at all. In fact, it makes their life easier. Because if you have 40 parents in the room, you're likely to get one or two or three difficult questions. If you have 10 parents in the room, you might get one difficult question, maybe none. And after years of difficult questions and interrogation-like atmospheres in the Q&A time of the parent evening, that's sometimes a relief. So we have to really be honest about that. Is one of the reasons that the parents aren't coming is because we've been giving them a signal all these years, and especially lately, that we don't really want them to come, that we're happy not to be seeing that much of them. You've got to really be honest with yourself about this. Secondly, and this goes along with the first point and often precedes it, it's really hard to get in touch with parents, except if it's an emergency or if it's an issue where their child has said, you better answer that call because Mr. Schwartz is talking about our class trip. Otherwise, the parents don't respond to your voicemail messages by phone. They don't respond to emails. They don't even respond to texts. And that used to be a sure attention getter when that was something new. As of the time I'm giving these lectures, there isn't anything beyond text. But wait long enough and certainly something will come. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Sort of like the bat signal, there'll be a big spotlight message in the sky telling them to call me. I don't know what would work better. So there's another issue. Why is parent communication so poor? Why don't they seem to care as much? Why aren't they as interested? And there are teachers who will say, well, that's just a sign that they have confidence in me. They don't have to come to meetings anymore. I don't have to justify what I'm doing. They have learned over the years I can be depended upon to give their children a good education, and that's all that they care about. And indeed, that may be the case here and there, but Waldorf education doesn't work that way. It really tends to mean that if Waldorf is being practiced correctly, people get more interested and have more questions, some easy, some not, and want to have more contact with the teacher. that would actually be, out of Waldorf education itself, out of the ideas, assuming you've been giving your parents ideas and not just blandishments and cliches about Waldorf, they would want to come more and more. So perhaps it's that your parent evenings aren't interesting enough, and perhaps you're not interesting enough to them anymore. They feel they know everything you're going to say. You're very predictable. If they feel that way, it might be that their children are feeling that way, that in fact, it's their children who are giving them that message that, if I may quote my students again, your teacher can be replaced by a machine. If they're feeling that way, honestly, my students, of course, were just joking about that, but some of them may feel that way, and the parents may reflect that as well. So this is really a critical year in which you may find your parents just sort of slipping away from you. It's also a year in which the parents may feel you don't really want to see much of them anymore. And in fact, you would just as soon not have any parent evenings if you could get away with it. And I have to tell you, on one level, I have to applaud her social genius. On the other, I would just have to say it is, you know, absolutely inexcusable what she did. This was, of course, my daughter's teacher, and I won't hesitate to name the school because I don't think that they really should have accepted this, and they did, that in eighth grade, she announced that there would not be any more parent evenings, but that she would organize committees around different topics, such as, you guessed it, the class trip, the class play, fundraising, you know, all of those things that Rudolf Steiner spoke about so often, that's what would go on. The parents would meet with one another. She would basically avoid those committees. They would just report to her, or somebody would call her and tell her what they worked out. And that was that. That way, she didn't have to stand before the parents, meeting them eye to eye, and tell them how things were going. Were there no more main lesson blocks that year? Were there no more behavior issues, social problems? Were there no breakthroughs that the whole class might be going through that you'd want to be eager to report to the parents? I guess not, because we essentially learned nothing about what was going on in that year. And do you know what her school did when she was done with eighth grade? I won't tell you what I would have done, but they made her the faculty chair for the next year. She was going to lead the faculty and perhaps hatch some more brilliant ways of totally avoiding having to deal with your parents. So that was, even for me, a shocker. And I've, you know, visited, I don't know, 150 or 160 Waldorf schools over the years. There's not that much that shocks me anymore. That blew me away. And I thought, of course, my own daughter's class, I would have to get the worst teacher in the lot. She was sort of, in a way, I'd have to say, you know, on one level, being very honest, I really am tired of these parent evenings. I don't like them. I'm not good at it. These, you know, urban parents are always more awake and more bothersome than parents in the suburbs or in rural areas. So she found a way around it. Okay, so this is how bad things have gotten, and they really are pretty serious in most eighth grades. And, you know, it's also a reflection, and I'll talk about this more in the colleagueship segment. It's a reflection of the way your colleagues may be feeling, not necessarily about you personally, because you probably have lots of friends, especially if you've been there forever and ever. Few enemies as well. But anyway, you know, everybody knows you and probably likes you, and they're grateful they even have an eighth grade with more than four children in it. But you get marginalized. And with the parents as well, there's a quality of sort of marginalization going on. You're thinking about the end of the year, you're thinking about next year when you won't have to deal with this particular group of parents, like you think the next group's going to be much better. And they're kind of thinking, well, okay, when do we get out of this place, and what secondary school is my child going to go to, and so on. Okay, so I'm giving this all to you from a very external point of view. You know, these are situations, one or two or three of them, you may be encountering. If you're not encountering it, maybe you'll find that the person who follows you into eighth grade next year does encounter it, and you can help them out. Now I want to say something from a completely different perspective that may help to explain this as well, not just in the sort of psychological, pseudo-sociological way I was just doing. And here again, some of you who've already been with me online in grade 6 and 7 have heard me talk about this. So I'm going to review it anyway. You can sort of fast forward this segment if you don't feel like hearing it again. For grades 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and part of 6, approximately half of grade 6, your destiny, your karma, is weak with the children. And this is, it's so incorrect. One hears this again and again and again about the teacher's karma with the children and so on. It's not until the middle of grade 6 when the astral body begins to incorporate in one child after another after another. And as soon as it happens to one, it's going to be 3 or 4 children a week later, and then 6 or 8 children. It moves quickly once one child opens that gate. When the child takes on her own astral body, she is also taking on her own karma. That is when her karma becomes individualized. Up until then, her karma has been an extension of her parents' karma, in the same way that her mother carried her for 10 months in the womb, the mother carries her for 10 years in her karmic womb, in the same way that the parents carry the child around before it can walk, and then drive it to school because the child can't run fast enough or drive themselves. All of these things, in a way, are sort of external pictures of the fact that the child is being carried by his or her parents, particularly the mother, much stronger than the father's relationship. So this is really important. To put it in a practical way, grades 1 through 5, beginning of 6 as well, make sure that you have a good relationship with every mother in that class. The dads will more or less follow, and the children will more or less follow as well. And you can do incredible work even with children with major behavioral issues and learning issues and whatever issues in those early grades, if you're focusing on the parents. And I like to quote the old expression that when you sweep a room, sweep the corners and the middle will take care of itself. And that's how it is with karma. Take care of the corners of the karma, which are the parents, whom you don't see every day, whom you only mostly reach in a very indirect way via what their children tell them happened in school, or if they're boys, what they don't tell them happened in school. But those corners are what you focus on, and the middle what you're looking at physically every day, the children you see, they will be carried along by those good relationships. Because the children are still in a state of sleep to dream, you know, and they are so much of what they're doing, what they're acting out, what they're acting upon is deeply connected to what's going on with their mothers. So you take those years to build a good, strong relationship, and you will see also that becomes the healthiest foundation for work with the pubescent and adolescent children. And then, in the middle of grade six, approximately, the astral body comes. It sort of comes into the room and looks for a likely candidate. And suddenly that child awakens to her own karma. And she looks at you and may feel, I have nothing to do with you. You're not, you know, you're only attached to my karma in the most peripheral way. You're my parents' guy. I'm really not interested in you. Goes home that day. I hate school. I want to go to another school. These Waldorfians are such nerds. Whatever, whatever, whatever. The parents start to hear that. And of course, they may have heard that in third grade with the 9-year change. They may have heard that in fourth grade. They may have heard that on a bad day in fifth grade. But what I tell them is, you know, in the first 5 grades, when your child tells you, I hate school, I hate Mr. Schwartz, he's so mean, whatever, I said, I hope that you will stand up for me and support me and tell them that they are lucky to be in our school and that they have a wonderful teacher and so on. But when they say that in grade 6, you better take that seriously. Because, no, I'm not any meaner in grade 6 than I was in grade 5. I'm not any more hateful in grade 6 than I was in grade 5. But I no longer are they judging me based on your karmic relationship to me, which is going to start to fade in grade 6, but rather they're judging me on their karmic relationship. And I can tell you all that 1/3 to 2/3 of the children in your class are there because their parents have karma with you, not because they do. And it's very possible, it's even likely in some places. In fact, it's even really a good thing if all of those children leave the class at the end of grade 6. Or maybe at the latest, at the end of grade 7. See? You've been feeling so badly about how your class has been shrinking over these years. And now you realize, actually, that's, spiritually speaking, a really good thing. It means that you have awakened those children in such a healthy way that they very quickly can tell where their karma lies and where it doesn't lie, and it doesn't lie with you. So that's a good thing. They knew they needed another teacher. And I've told parents in grade 6, you should arrange, you know, take a day or two or three off in grade 6 and go and look around at other schools. Look at other junior highs or other private schools. Maybe the time has come for your child to leave Waldorf and to do something else. Or if you're fortunate enough to be in a very unusual area like the San Francisco Bay Area, where there are, you know, are Waldorf schools everywhere you look, you can have your child go to another Waldorf school. And maybe they have karma with the 6th grade, 7th grade teacher there, which they don't have with you. Okay? So it's great. One problem only, of course, which is that your business office may not feel the same, and your school administrator may not feel so great about this, and your colleagues may not. And this is what happens, that 6th grade, 7th grade are years of tremendous attrition, and the teacher gets blamed. It's your fault. Why couldn't you keep all 25 children there over the years? What are you doing wrong? There must be something wrong, you know, or you're really irritating the parents. You're rubbing the parents the wrong way. So this is really very important. And here's another example where if we understand how reincarnation and along with it karma work, we will have a much deeper understanding of how to structure our school, of many of the issues and problems facing our school. And I can tell you that out of maybe 200 Waldorf independent Waldorf schools in the country, there are 10 perhaps that don't have a huge exodus of children in the upper grades. And most of those 190 schools will probably fire that teacher at the end of eighth grade or have her resign or, you know, have her do something else. They'll blame her for that. And then the next year, the same thing happens. And it goes on and on and on. And we wonder, why are our upper grades so weak? Because why is the Waldorf movement so weak? Because we're getting rid of some of our very best teachers for the wrong reasons, because nobody is thinking about karma. All they're thinking about is tuition, and it doesn't look good. You know, we bring in people for an open house, and there are four kids in the eighth grade, and then, you know, the admissions director or the development director doesn't know what to say to them, so she's not going to be going to the upper grades anymore because it's so embarrassing. That's what we care about, you know. Not really the deeper side of things. So this is really a critical matter that I want to emphasize here. By eighth grade, your karmic connection with most of the parents, there will be exceptions, but with most of them, it's really weakened. So of course, they don't need to see you anymore. Maybe you've worked out your karma for this life. You know, once you do that, you don't even want to see that person anymore. They kind of can get you a little bit ill. You may feel that way about some of them. They may feel that way about you. If you are still having these major battles and these, you know, feeling of passionate liking, that parent is my best friend and so on, all of this stuff, you haven't done your work. If it's still going on like that, it should be that the parent relationship wanes, like the waning moon. You know, I must decrease so that he may increase, so that the child's karma, there's room now for you and the children to start working through your karma. And this is where we have the, you know, kind of drama, the roller coaster ride up and down of the upper grades. And we feel, oh, that's the children. They're so impossible at this age. It's the children responding to their relationship to you. And if you can bring some clarity and some balance into those relationships, your class may not be a madhouse and you may not be driven crazy by it. But you have to understand then that your relationship with the parents is going to be very, very different. And we'll talk some more about that.